and studying that one sentence in Scripture, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and rather than catch you all up with everything on this, we've been talking last week about patience, and you find that word in Hebrews 12, 1, where in the last part of that sentence it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that is a lifetime pursuit of running to win Christ, to be in the bride of Christ. And we talked about last week three aspects of patience. And first and foremost, we need to be patient with the Lord and his working in our hearts and lives. So secondly, then, we must be patient with ourselves as the Lord works in our hearts and lives. And then thirdly, and just as important, because these are all interconnected, we need to be patient with others. You know, you'd probably be fine if it was just you, right? You and the Lord. But we have obstacles, 7 billion of them, are surrounding us in this world. Other people. And we need to learn to be patient with others. And so that's probably perhaps one of the more difficult aspects of being patient as we run the race that is set before us. And so as we considered this last week, we left off with the thought that we should always, always keep the Lord first and foremost in our hearts and in our minds, and be patient with the Lord's own working in our own life. And he's got it. He's got it down to the last detail in the last millisecond. He knows those that he brings across your path of life that might just rub you the wrong way. I might be one of them. You know? And so we have in Scripture found many times written by our Apostle Paul how we are to deal and interact with others. And let's go back and start where we kind of finished off last week and move on from there. We'll go to Romans 12. And there's several verses here that we'll read starting in verse 10. Romans 12, 10. And it says, first of all, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Notice this again, patient in tribulation. In tribulation worketh patience, but we've got to be patient in the tribulation too. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, and this is how we are to be patient with others also. Verse 14, this is another part of it. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So Paul understood that this was going to be a test on your race course to live peaceably with all men. So if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Turn to Galatians 6. So we see here a lot of examples of how it is that we are to be patient with others. And of course, we have to look unto the Lord for help in this regard, because we've got to be patient with ourselves as we are patient with others, as we are patient with the Lord as he brings these different ones and situations in our lives. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Don't treat your brothers worse than you treat the people in the world, you know. And don't treat the people in the world any different than you treat your brothers. That's what he's saying here. Philippians 4. And there's a lot of them, more than just what we're going over here, that we could have turned to and read. But these are just some of the encouragements. Ephesians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then we looked at this one before. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And these are all along the same theme. But this was the first epistle that Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. 1 Timothy 2:1. This is written to the man that Paul probably knew the best and had taught the most to, Timothy. And 1 Timothy 2:1 says this, I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for your buddies. It says all men. All men. Made for all men. 2 Timothy 2:24, his last epistle. And we'll start there and we'll read a couple verses. 2 Timothy 2:24, he's telling Timothy and encouraging him how to be the teacher, the pastor, the apostle that he was. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Notice that's all by itself, stand alone there. You got to be patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Turn over a page in your Bible to two pages maybe. Titus 3, verse 1. This is to another apostle, a brother in the Lord. Paul wrote one of his last letters too. Titus 3, 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 12, and we'll read a verse beyond 1 and 2. We'll read Hebrews 12, 14. Here Paul writes, follow peace with all men. This is Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And then go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, and this will be another thought concerning being patient with others, an additional thought that Paul wrote there in his first epistle. 1 Thessalonians, we'll start in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 14. And Paul writes, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. And what does it say here next? Be patient toward all men. Isn't that what we're talking about? See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Memorize this next verse. Rejoice evermore. Two words. It's the other two-word sentence in the Bible. The other one is Jesus wept. Verse 17, here's how you do it. Pray without ceasing. I don't mean you have to be on your knees and everything, but you can be driving your car and praying. You can be eating your dinner and praying. You can be mowing your lawn and praying. Sometimes that's what I do for therapy. I mow my lawn. I mow the neighbor's lawn. I do. For therapy. And I pray for them as I pray, mow their lawn. And, you know, I need to be kind about it. I'm not doing it spitefully or anything. But my neighbors appreciate it, and they tell me so. And my neighbor, Maurice, next door, he says, I love you, Ty. I says, I love you too, Maurice. A good Christian man. When he couldn't hardly move, I took care of his yard for a couple years. And I think that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? Verse 18, in everything, everything is what it says. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to be a full overcomer? Here's one of the secrets. Right there. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, to sum it up, we need to be patient with others. And in order to do so, we find that we first need to be patient with the Lord, and then we need to be patient with ourselves and the Lord's working in our hearts and minds and lives. That way we can be patient toward a few select people. No, it says all men. All men, we read that several times. Be patient toward all men. And rest assured that we cannot be patient towards all men without the help and guidance and direction of the Holy Ghost being evident in our own hearts and lives. He has to help us. He has to help us. I told you this story one time, and it comes to my mind. When I was flying, I was in San Diego, and they didn't have, at that point in time, jetways out to the airplane. They had let people out on the ramp and walk upstairs. And I'm in the cockpit getting ready to go flying, and this lady comes up in the cockpit, and she sticks her finger in my nose right there, and she, yelling at me, says, you better be careful, my two grandkids are on this airplane. Now, the first thought that went through my mind, I quickly realized I shouldn't be saying, and I couldn't be saying, I could get fired for the thought that was there. But the Lord took over, in my heart. And quickly, my first officer, he was flabbergasted that somebody would be right there in your face. And I says, "Oh, I'm going to be careful. My mother's son's on this airplane." She didn't realize I was talking about me. And I don't know where that came from. It had to be the Lord. And she turned around and says to my first officer, "Well, can you imagine? We both have family on the same airplane." And then she walks out, and to the flight attendant that was there in the first class, who was preparing some beverages for the people that were all on the airplane, she said, "We both have family on the same airplane." The flight attendant looked at her like, you know, what? But I was so glad that that's the way the Lord brought it to me. That poor woman, she probably driving home after she dropped her grandkids off, put them on the airplane, and realized, wait a second, he was talking about himself. But you know, I did have my mother's son on that airplane, and that's me. And I was going to be careful. What did she think? And what kind of conversation was that anyway? But I'm thankful that I was able to be patient towards that woman. And, you know, you probably got similar tales that you could tell if you think about it. So we need to have the Holy Ghost ruling and reigning in our own hearts and lives. And remember our verse that we studied last week, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Turn there for a quick second so you can see this. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And it says there, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And that's in everything, in every little thing, every big thing, every minute, every second of every day. So we need to allow the Holy Ghost to direct our hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ, in our daily walk, and in every event that is on our individual race course. And this includes being patient toward all men. Now, back to Hebrews 12:1. And as we have been studying this part, the last part of Hebrews 12:1, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us," our recent attention has been focused on patience, and we've looked at patience from three different aspects, as we mentioned this morning, and that being patient with the Lord, being patient with ourselves, and being patient with others. And one of the verses that we referenced last week was Romans 15:4. And I want to expound upon that here for a few moments. Romans 15:4. I think they get to look at more scriptures in this class than they do in Scott's class. At least today, it seems like. And Scott does have Band-Aids downstairs if you get some paper cuts. So, excuse me. In Romans 15:4, Paul wrote, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," in other words, in the Old Testament, "whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, and that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." And we noted that the patient and comfort of the Scriptures is the encouragement, the exhortation, and the admonition the race course runner needs to lay a hold upon the hope that is set before us, who is Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God, the Scriptures. Go to Revelation 3:10. be careful turning so you don't get those paper cuts I was talking about. And the importance of the patience and comfort of scriptures is further emphasized by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Revelation 3:10, where he says to the Philadelphian church, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. The same word we've been encouraged to study is called the word of my patience, he writes here. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, Brother Hawkins, in a study on Revelation, he defined patience here as simply meaning willing to remain in their place until he has worked in them. That's patience. A willing to remain in their place until he has worked in them. Where are you at in your life? Are you willing to allow to remain in the place the Lord has put you in until he's finished doing the work that he begun in you? In other words, and this is a pretty simple explanation of patience. Just a second here. I got some additional material here. Now, this statement of Revelation 3:10 is written to the full overcomers of this church age, isn't it? The Philadelphian church. And these are those full overcoming saints still alive when the Lord comes. This is the very same crowd who heeded Paul's 80-word sentence of Hebrews 12:1 and 2 that we're studying. The one that encourages us of this church age to be race course runners and New Testament worthies of faith, running with patience the race that is set before us. All full overcomers will be found to have this quality, patience. It was the same for the Old Testament worthies of faith too. Think about it. Enoch, he walked with God most all of the 365 years that he lived before God translated him. Now, to our way of thinking, 365 years is a long time. And yet, when Enoch was translated, he wasn't an old man. In his era, he was the equivalent of a guy in his mid-30s, you know, to us. Do you have the patience to walk with God for 365 years? How about 365 days? How about 365 hours or 365 minutes or 365 seconds and break it down? Think about it. At what point in time did you become impatient? So we need to have patience, don't we? Like Enoch did. So obviously Enoch had patience. How about Noah? He's an Old Testament worthy of faith. And did Noah have patience? The indication in scriptures is that it took Noah about 120 years to build an ark. That's a long time. You have patience for that kind of a project? Do you have that kind of time? Well, Noah did. And it's kind of hard to imagine having 120 years worth of patience for a project like that. And so Noah had that kind of patience. And we read in 1 Peter 3:20 that God was patient with Noah too. For it says there in 1 Peter 3:20, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. And do you think Noah worked on that ark every day for those 120 years? I think he did. He might have needed a day off now and then. But I think he was working on it. The Lord told him to. He'd found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he did what God told him to do. Now, think about this. As Noah dealt with others, did he have patience in dealing with others? He had to have had, because they came and constantly asked him about this ship he was building in his backyard. What's this thing, Noah? It's a ship. You're how many miles from water? Come on, you know. And what'd you say rain was? We've never seen rain before. You're a nut, Noah. And he had have patience with him. And 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Here's why I'm building the ark. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness unto those ungodly people that lived in his world. And think about this. He preached to them for 120 years. He was patient with others, wasn't he? And Noah had full overcoming patience. And that's why he's found as one of the Old Testament worthies of faith. Think about Abraham. He's an Old Testament worthy of faith. Did he have patience? Well, God promised him an heir when his name was Abram. And God told him his seed would be multiplied as the stars in heaven. But years go by, no son. Finally, when Abraham was 100 years old, he had the promised son Isaac. So I guess you could say Abraham had patience. He had patience with the Lord. How about Isaac? Did he have patience? He's one of the Old Testament worthies of faith mentioned there in Hebrews 11. Well, we find that he married Rebekah when he was 40 years old, but Genesis 25:21 tells us that Rebekah was barren, and it seems that the promise God made to Abraham of having his seed multiplied as the stars in the heaven seemed impossible, because it hadn't gone any further than Isaac at this point in time. And Isaac entreated the Lord for Rebekah being barren, and she conceived and bare twins, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob becomes Israel, as you know. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to these boys. How about you fathers out here? Did any of you start having children when you were 60? I don't think so. So you see, he had some patience, didn't he? And then we've read about this earlier in a study of the patience of Job. You find that statement in James 5:11. We find that Job, under extreme testing, allowed his faith and trust in God to abide prominent in his life. And he even stated these words in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He had patience. He had patience with God. And he is an icon of faith and a testimony to us of an Old Testament overcomer full of faith and a man of patience who waited on the Lord to deliver him out of all his fiery trials. And take the time to review the lives of all the rest of the Old Testament worthies of faith and realize that all these people had patience, worked in their lives, and all full overcomers will be found to have this quality, patience. In other words, as we stated earlier, they were willing to remain in their place until God finished working in them. Now, let's look at some characters in the New Testament and see who was willing to remain in their place until the Lord had worked in them patience. And let's start with Jesus. That's a good place, huh? Jesus is the ultimate full overcomer. He overcame the world, death, and the grave. But did Jesus have patience? Let's go to Luke 2. And there we find the story in verses 41 through 52 of Jesus as a 12-year-old. Now, you also find here in these verses, Luke 2, get the right spot here, 41 through 52, we're not going to read all of that, but this is where we're referencing right now. You find in this portion that Jesus was a perfect child, and yet his parents seemed to pay no attention to him, so much so that they lost him for over a day before they realized they'd lost him. They lost our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet people want to worship Mary, an irresponsible parent. Think about it. It's kind of funny, isn't it? And that's not who we're to worship. But we find in this story that Jesus was already about his Father's business. And he was, now, if you were left behind, where would you go looking for Jesus or your child? In church? In a temple? Or a playground someplace? Or someplace, the gym? Somewhere like that, right? They found him in the temple. And he was about his Father's business. And he was astounding the doctors of the law with his answers and his questions. Now, I thought about this. He has all the answers. And then he asked the questions to see and get you to thinking, wow, that's true, isn't it? Now, his parents didn't yet understand what was taking place, and yet we find that Jesus was patient with them even at age 12, and he continued to let God work patience in his life too, because it says there in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was patient for the next 18 years of his life with God the Father working in him patience that he needed before he began his ministry. Have you ever been patient for 18 years for anything? Perhaps. Now, that word favor in verse 52 of Luke 2:52, that word favor is grace. It comes from the Greek word charis, 5485. It's found 156 times in the New Testament, most often translated grace, and it also speaks to sweetness and charm and loveliness. It speaks to grace of speech and that kind of thing. But remember in John 1:14, this was Jesus came to us full of what? Grace and truth. Same word, charis. And now, quickly, and we're going to run out of time here in a few minutes, I want you to go to Colossians 4:6. Because the Lord had these qualities, he was full of grace and truth. Colossians, this is a free, I'm not charging you for this morning. I'm not charging you for any of this because it's all free, but it's not in my notes, so it takes me a minute. It says there in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with what? Grace, that same word. Seasoned with salt. We'll talk about that. That ye may know how you ought to answer your buddies. How about every man that you're supposed to be patient with? Salt here is halos, number 217 in the Strong's Greek. Guess how many times it's found? It's found in four verses, you'll notice, those of you that got your smartphones and that kind of thing, with the Bible in it. It's used 8 times. Does 8 have any kind of particular meaning? Well, one of the meanings of the number 8, it points to the bride of Christ. And salt here references grace. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with more grace. And how you answer people, like that woman I was telling you about, you know, that was grace. It was manifest in an unusual way there. So one of the meanings of this word is wisdom and grace exhibited in speech. I hope that was meaningful. We'll pick up from there, Lord willing, next time. But remember, we are to be looking unto Jesus, and we're to be looking unto Jesus for his soon coming. And hopefully we won't have another next time. But if we do, we'll pick up from here. Thank you.